Let me invite you to take your Bibles and open them to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In our pondering the page section of our evening, we want to continue to look at seven key truths you can't afford to forget. If you want to do God's will, God's way for God's glory. So let's begin by just reading the passage again, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. The word of God has not changed. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, as we look at this passage, and as you consider your own life, your own purpose, and such, there are seven M's that I want to draw out of this passage over the 7 weeks that we will consider it, seven times. First of all, you need to remember your mission. Secondly, your means. We will look at that this time. Number three, your message. Number four, your mindset. Number five, your mental focus. Number six, your method. And number seven, your motives. If you'll be faithful to do God's will, God's way, for God's glory. And in this passage in 2 Timothy 2, there are actually seven metaphors that Paul uses of a steward, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a good vessel, and a servant. Now, looking at verses 1 and 2, we've emphasized in point 1 how God wants you to recognize the significant mission he's entrusted to faithful men to teach others also. And again, only the Lord knows how he wants to use you, but I know this. You don't need an official ministry to communicate truth to someone else. Hebrews 5 tells us, in reference to all those believers, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. And whether it's in an official ministry or unofficial ministry, God wants to use you to communicate to others the gospel as well as biblical truths. But the first thing we note here is that as we think of mission, what a significant one it is. And what does he say here? The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, you commit. And the word commit here carries the idea entrust. You entrust something very valuable to them. Very valuable. Now, too often believers don't even value the clear teaching of the Word of God. Isn't it funny? Michael Hoffman used this illustration with me today. I thought it was good. He said, if I were to tell you that next Wednesday night, if you come, I have five $100 bills waiting for you, would you make it? Most people are, oh, yeah, I'd make it. I'll make it whether I feel good or not. But you know, when it comes to the Word of God, more to be desired are they than five $100 bills. Sweeter also than honey than the honeycomb. But so often we don't value the Word of God. But if we do value it and we value the Word of God being entrusted to us to teach others also, then obviously we would take these first very seriously. Commit these things, what things? The things that you have heard from me, these truths of grace, and I'm going to commit these, and then commit these to faithful men with what objective in mind who will be able to teach others also. The word faithful means reliable, trustworthy. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And the word men is anthropos, speaking of men and women. And you see, 2 Timothy 2:2 again is the Pauline version of what is oftentimes called the Great Commission. You know, Brett Nazareth again put this little PowerPoint together, how God sought to use a John and a Peter and a Paul to communicate to other people like a Titus, a Timothy, and Epaphroditus, who were to teach faithful men who were able to teach then others also, so that the message of grace would continue from person to person, to place, from generation to generation. And the need is still very great. Our Lord Jesus said the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Need does not equal call. Just because the need is there doesn't mean God is calling you to go to some remote location and preach the gospel. But the need underscores the need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest, and to realize God wants to use you right where you are at. You're to grow where you're planted. You're to be used where you are at. You know, thinking of faithful men, again, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Notice stewards again. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. So this is very similar to what Paul is writing later in 2 Timothy 2. Now, being faithful involves learning to stay in fellowship with the Lord, for without him you can do nothing. It's learning to live each day as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And it's learning to do even your gifts homework prayerfully, dependently, as unto the Lord. It doesn't start by doing great things for God. It starts by just walking humbly, faithfully, right where the Lord has you. And I say that because, again, you know, in the average seminary approach, and I was reminded of that today as I met with a couple, and this man went to Bible college and then he finished seminary, and now he feels greatly pressured by others to become a pastor, though he doesn't think he's really ready to do it. But that is the normal approach. You know, you take your classes, you graduate, therefore you obviously must be ready, and now go and serve, because the need is great. Where the grace approach is, you just keep walking with the Lord and growing, be willing to serve as the Lord leads you, and we'll see where it all ends up. And so we see the first M is what? Do you remember? Mission. You must remember your mission, which leads us to the second M, namely, means. God wants you to remember the spiritual means he has provided for you to accomplish this ministry. Verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The word be strong is a present, passive imperative. What does that mean? Present tense carries the idea here. Keep on. But passive doesn't mean be strong, like you've got to do this. Passive means you receive your strength from another. Keep on, literally, being strengthened. And that is a command, an imperative. That is a must. That is a necessity. If you are going to be faithful to the Lord, this is a necessity. You therefore, my son, be strong or strengthened in, literally, by means of the grace resources, the grace blessings. And where are they found? That is in Christ Jesus. That's where they're found. They're found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. They're found in your position in Jesus Christ. They're found in your identity in Jesus Christ. Now, as you think of some of these grace resources, what are they? Well, it's the wonderful truth that I have been crucified with Christ and buried with Christ and raised with Christ, and I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Therefore, I have died to the sin nature and I'm alive to God in Christ. And I am now to reckon this to be true and present myself to the Lord as being alive from the dead and yield myself, as it were, each day to Him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service. Furthermore, it's to remember the resource of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. From the Word of God, you get the mind of Christ. You get the promises of God. You get a reservoir of truth stored up. And through the Spirit of God, you have His various ministries available to you of illumination, of empowerment, of leading, and so forth. Great resources there of the grace that's found in Christ. Another valuable resource is that of prayer. Being able to pray and commune with the Lord and ask Him for wisdom and to cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, as I think of prayer, William Culper many, many years ago said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. Has he been trembling lately? And you must never forget again that when it comes to your life and your ministry, it's all by God's grace from beginning to end. His grace is sufficient for you. That's true with salvation. That's true with sanctification. That's true with service. You see, but when it comes to grace, we just don't get it. We don't naturally think grace. We naturally think we've got to help God out. We see this first with salvation. Our tendency is to think it's not as simple as believing in Christ. We've got to help God out. But it's finished. When it comes to sanctification, we've got to help God out, as if He needs our help. When it comes to service, we've got to help God out. No, He is able to do it for us in justification, in us in sanctification, and through us in service to others. And that is why we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is incredible when you think of the grace He has shown to us amidst the disgrace that we have been toward Him. And yet, He's there. He's reminding us each and every day, I am the vine, you are the branches, He who abides in me, and I in Him. He bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. You know, I'm talking to this seminarian graduate today. I said, I want you to just visualize for a moment again just this branch on the ground. Is he struggling to produce? Is he pushing? Is he prodding? Is he manipulating? Is he pressured? Does growth, does fruit come from pressure from outside or within? Or does it come by resting and relying and abiding? Now, I'll tell you, dear friends, you've heard these truths many times, students. But one, it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to understand it. It's one thing to understand, another thing to appropriate it in your own life. But at least you've heard it. So many folks, they haven't even heard it. There's like, God did this for you, now you do this for God and get with it. You know, and that's the kind of thinking that is prevalent today. But it's not new. It's called legalism. You know, I like Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you know that word be strong is again in the passive? Literally, keep on being strengthened in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because the task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. In fact, behind, it could even be in you by means of the Lord and the power of His might. 2 Corinthians 3:5 and 6 remind us of the means again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Notice how the Bible does indicate end results, but the emphasis for us is on means. You do not have to produce results. God will produce the results. You concentrate on the means. Was the result not salvation when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You didn't produce it, you received it. Will the result not be ongoing sanctification and growth and fruitfulness and service when you concentrate on the means? Occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ and reliance upon Him in your day-to-day life. So you learn to do whatever you do heartily as unto the Lord. You know, again, I've said over the years, if you don't know how to do your dishes as unto the Lord, you're not ready to serve in Sunday school either. Just learning to do whatever you do. Lord, I just want to do this as unto you. In dependence upon you, I'm looking to you, and so forth. You know, as I think of God's means and supply, Hudson Taylor years ago said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And I think he knew what he was talking about. As he served the Lord faithfully for many years in China, and he saw one answer to prayer after another. But remember, the objective of this means is to serve, and to serve humbly. To wash others' feet, as it were, as our Lord Jesus set that example. It's not to be some big kahuna and get your name in the lights and make sure everyone knows you and make sure you're recognized and make sure you're appreciated, or even trying to prove to yourself you can do it. What are you doing proving to yourself? It's not about you in the first place. And that's why I do like what Warren Wiersbe said years ago, that ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. But notice, divine resources meet human needs. And thus you understand the place of works is as you're saved by grace and you learn to walk by faith, then good works are to flow out of that. That's what James 2 set forth, and that's what we see in this passage as well. In fact, if you remove verse 1 from this passage, you will turn this passage into a series of do's. It'll just be a bunch of commands you're trying to do. Verse 1 is critical in understanding the means in order to see the results that God is going to set forth in this passage. And so we've learned two M's so far. Mission and means. Mission and means. Mission and means. The mission is to pass on the Word of God. The means is by being strengthened each and every day by means of the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Now, you're just a Gibbs student at this point. You don't know what the Lord has for you. You may be a father, you may be a mother, you may be a single folk. I don't know what the Lord has for you, and I don't have an agenda for your life. I've never had an agenda for any believer's life here. I just want them to walk with the Lord and to grow in the Lord and to serve Jesus Christ and let their life count for Him in whatever way God has. But wouldn't that be what God wants, and therefore why wouldn't I want that? Am I going to pressure you to do that? No. I could challenge you from time to time and exhort you and encourage you. But you know, when it's at the end of the day, it's you and the Lord, isn't it? And that has to come from within, a willingness for you to respond to it. But you have to learn to be faithful, learn to walk, learn to abide. And part of the learning process at times is failing. You say, whew, I feel better about the quiz already. You know. Now, you keep on failing, you're not getting it, though, right? You can fail, and that might show you, I should have studied harder, I should have done, you know what, grow through it. Forget the things that are behind and look forward to the things that are before. Learn from the past, but don't live in it. And keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He's a tremendously gracious Savior and a loving Lord who wants to direct every aspect of your life. And when it's all said and done at the end of the day and at the end of my life, I'd like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd like to finish well. But only the Lord knows, and it's a day-by-day kind of thing. But patterns do set forth whole directions in life and, in a sense, create character, as it were. And so it's one step at a time, one day at a time, one gives assignment at a time, one at a time, walking, depending, learning to do what you do is unto the Lord, becoming faithful, as it were, through His Spirit, so that the mission is fulfilled by the right means. Not through human labor that gives glory to man, but through divine enablement. I want to go to one last passage before we leave here. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 28. It says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor. Now the word labor is kapios. It carries the idea, if I labor to the point of exhaustion. Now some believers don't know much about that. You know, they're pretty lazy. Lazy. No, this is labor to the point of exhaustion. Ministry at times involves labor. And part of that labor at times just involves study. Where you study. Someone said, study yourself to death and pray yourself back to life. You know. But I want you to notice what he goes on to say in verse 20. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. There we see means again. Mission, verse 28. Verse 29, we see the instrument. You're in a human body, and therefore you get exhausted at times. But you see divine means. Striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Valuable lessons for you to take to heart tonight. And to think about. And reflect on, to pray over, and let the Lord keep refining you and developing you in your own Christian life. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the Word of God and for the great purpose we have in our lives to live for Him who died for us. And in doing so, to be used as instruments in your hands to communicate the Word of God to others, whether it be to our friends or whether it be to our children, could be to our mate, could be to those in the workplace, could be to other believers in this local church or to who knows who. Father, we know as we're concerned about the breadth of our walk and growth, you will take care of the depth of our walk and growth, you will take care of the breadth of our ministry. And we do pray to you as the Lord of the harvest, as the harvest is white but the laborers are few, that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. But we know these would be Spirit-enabled, prepared laborers.